We are joined once again on the Green by contributor Larry Nagengast. This week, taking a break from looking at remote learning and education in Delaware schools and kind of looking back to issues pre-coronavirus that education in the first state was facing. One of the biggest ones, of course, was Wilmington Schools, educational equity there, and specifically the Reading Consortium that was put together to try and address that. Larry takes a look this week at how that consortium is moving forward despite the COVID-19 crisis. Larry, thanks for joining us this week on The Green.
Hey, glad to be here, Tom.
So let's start with the basic logistics here. How is the Reading Consortium working through the COVID-19 pandemic, and is it at all altering the timeline it had to get its work done?
Well, as you might expect, it has been a combination of cancellations, postponements, and a transformation into virtual meetings. Before the state of emergency was declared, the next key date on the consortium's calendar was April 23rd, when the full consortium was scheduled to meet. Just the other day, that meeting was rescheduled for May the 7th, and it's going to be held virtually. In the meantime, the three meetings of the consortium's redistricting working group, which had been scheduled for March, all of them were canceled, primarily because the school superintendents in Newcastle County are key members of that group, and they understandably had to focus their attention on how to educate their students while the schools are closed.
So as your story notes, there is that one working group on redistricting. There's a second one that's working on a parallel track. That is one that's focused on teachers and administrators. Let's go one at a time. Let's start with the one that tends to draw the most attention, that one on redistricting. This could go a lot of different ways, but you note there is one constant that seems to be coming up with redistricting. What is that?
Right. Okay. Well, because those three meetings in March were canceled, the redistricting group has fallen behind its original schedule. So we don't have a good idea of where it's headed yet. However, in December, the group did assemble a group of options, a list of options, and none of them are, you know, really original. In fact, it's largely a collection of ideas that have been mentioned at one time or another over the past 20 years or so. But there is one thing that they all have in common. The geographical split of the Christina School District, with a portion in Wilmington and most of its territory in the Newark-Bear-Glasgow area, would be eliminated. And under all of these options, Christina, if it survives at all, would be a suburbs-only district. No big surprise here. Nobody really has been advocating to keep the Christina district's boundaries as they now stand. But all of the plans that seem to be under consideration at this point would eliminate Christina as it now exists.
Beyond that, though, as you mentioned, there's a number of different options, a wide variety. Some of which we've kind of heard in one form or another before, but so let's just kind of go over them. What is on the table, at least here at the start of this process?
Well, okay. Well, first of all, let me mention that no matter what proposal is developed, and if it is approved, it's not going to take effect until sometime between 2023 and 2025. So everything that we're talking about here is a little bit off in the distance. But now let's start with the two extremes. At one end, there's the idea of a single district for all of northern Newcastle County, essentially a merger of the Brandywine, Red Clay, Colonial, and Christina districts. And that could create a setup much like we had during the first years of court-ordered desegregation from 1978 to 1981. Now, at that time, the arrangement wasn't very popular. People considered that single district too large and unresponsive, and that's why we settled into the four-district configuration that we have now. At the other end would be the rebirth of a single school district for the city of Wilmington, like we had in the years prior to 1978, and it would be surrounded by the Brandywine, Red Clay, and Colonial districts, with Colonial serving the greater Newark area. The old Wilmington district was abolished by court order because state laws had ensured that the district was racially segregated. And even so, there were some in Wilmington at the time who opposed the district's demise, and a few of that group are still active active today and hoping that perhaps that Wilmington-only district be restored. The difference here is that legal standards concerning segregation have changed over time, and so has the racial distribution of Newcastle County residents. A Wilmington-only district today would be composed of roughly 90% minority students, compared with roughly 75% in the 1970s. Now, whether that would make it constitutional today to reestablish a school district that might look more segregated now than it looked 45 years ago is a matter for the legal experts to decide. So I'm going to leave that issue right here. In between those two extremes, the countywide district and the Wilmington only, are a variety of options that would create either a two-district system or a three-district system. To give you the simplest example that seems to be on the table, a two-district plan that would include all of Wilmington plus the current Red Clay and Brandywine districts in one of the two, and the other one being a merger of Colonial and the suburban portion of Christina. The other options that seem to be on the table are, you know, variations along similar lines.
And you note also that charter schools would be looped into this whole process as well, correct?
Yes, now that's right. Let's remember that the current district alignment dates to 1981, and the first charter schools weren't established until 1995. We now have a disjointed mix of educational formats in Wilmington, with no organized coordination among the leaders of the seven charters, a vocational high school, a magnet school for the arts, and nine traditional schools, not to mention the at least six charter schools located outside the city that enroll Wilmington residents. So, at the very least, the consortium will consider whether it makes more sense to have these charters overseen by the districts in which they're located rather than by the State Department of Education. And depending upon what redistricting configuration is recommended, there's also a possibility of change for the countywide vocational technical school district.
But one thing to note that's kind of key here is that this is all very conceptual. There are still a lot of details that would have to actually just kind of be worked out later.
Yes, indeed. No matter how sensible any plan the consortium might develop would sound, tinkering with the charter schools and the VOTECs could set off a political firestorm. Since all of this is very conceptual right now, little is written down, let alone carved in stone, there's no need to get into all of those ramifications today. Suffice to say that there are a lot of pieces that the members of the redistricting group are going to have to put together in the next couple of months. And there are also a lot of pieces that are going to be like that proverbial can that always gets kicked down the road, and in this case, legitimately so. You know, for example, whether the redistricting results in one district or two or three, and or something that we haven't even thought of yet, it will eventually be up to the school boards in those new districts to set up the attendance lines for the schools that are in their territory. And that, for most families, is going to be the most important piece of this at all.
Is there something that the consortium is looking at as an overarching goal for this redistricting piece?
Well, first of all, House Bill 222, which passed the General Assembly last June, actually set up 13 different requirements that the redistricting proposal must include, starting with this is their phrase, the orderly and minimally disruptive assignment of students. Now, it also mentions reducing concentrations of low-income students, providing additional resources for high-need students, providing more options for middle schools and high schools within the city of Wilmington, as well as recommendations on such essentials as collective bargaining, pupil transportation, and how to handle financial obligations of any districts impacted by restructuring. That being said, what's most important here is that any plan that is implemented here improve the opportunity for children in Wilmington to get a better education. And that could mean things like smaller class sizes, more experienced teachers, additional support services, doing whatever is possible to help prevent a portion of our population that has historically fallen behind educationally from continuing to do so. And let me add, it's well recognized that there are lots of areas elsewhere in the state where students also tend to fall behind. And the recommendations that the consortium comes up with, minus the redistricting piece, could very well be considered for statewide adoption at some point down the road.
How about the other group, the one that's looking at teachers and administrators? Where is that at right now?
Well, the Educator Work Group has gotten a lot of work done. It has developed a draft memo with four recommendations. I've read that memo, but I understand that there are some revisions in progress, and we're really not going to see a final version of that until next month at the earliest. Anyhow, there are several things that it says. It says that the state has to do a better job of growing its own teachers, administrators, and that means identifying them in high school, helping them on their way through college, and then hiring them to work in the state. It also says, and this is really interesting, that educators who work in Wilmington should get financial assistance, and that could possibly include creating a mixed-use residential community so that teachers could live in the area very close to where they're working. And it also makes some recommendations on professional development. One of those two recommendations is geared toward working with administrators because dissatisfaction with school leaders is a big reason that teachers leave their jobs in Wilmington. And the other recommendation along those lines deals with a comprehensive package of professional development for both teachers and administrators who work in high-need schools.
So we looked at all this. Is there optimism that this all can stay on track and get things done in a way that achieves kind of the goal of equity that they're looking for while simultaneously being logistically workable?
Well, I and first of all, to the extent that any deadlines have been missed or pushed right now, they haven't been critical. State Senator Tizzy Lockman, who is the co-chair of the Reading Consortium, is optimistic that things will get done. She's confident that plans can be pulled together in time to meet the big deadline for submission to the State Board of Education right after the start of the new year. And she believes the consortium members are talented enough to develop a workable plan or plans and hopes that those plans will be able to withstand the objections of those who will persist in defending the status quo. But, you know, getting that far, you know, coming up with a plan is actually the easy part. And Senator Lockman knows this well because she served on the consortium's two predecessors, the Wilmington Education Advisory Committee and the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission. Both of those groups made plenty of strong recommendations, and very little of what they sought was actually adopted. You know, however, at that time, with the other groups, Senator Lockman was serving as a private citizen. Now she's a state lawmaker. Now, we haven't mentioned this yet, but as I'm sure most of our listeners know, some of the pieces of any restructuring will have a cost attached to them. And those costs, as we all know, must somehow be approved by the General Assembly. This year, and very likely the next couple of years, probably are not going to be the best times to ask the General Assembly to spend more money, no matter how urgent some of us may feel that the needs will be. So we're just going to have to see. Will Senator Lockman and the three other lawmakers who serve on the consortium not only have the ability to help write a plan to reshape education, but will they also be able to convince their colleagues in the General Assembly to provide enough funding to make it work? These are big questions, and we're going to have to wait a while to see how it pans out.
And we expect, Larry, and I guess that you will be along for the ride to see how those questions are answered. We appreciate your continuing reporting on this and other education issues here in the First State. Thanks for being with us on The Green.
Thank you very much, Tom.